first case on our calendar is 95-1535, Philip and Donna Ardeer versus Roger Tracy, Tax Commissioner. Mr. Phillips.
Good morning. I'd like to reserve about half my time for rebuttal. The issue in this case is not one of labels or identification. Not trying to attach a label for what the Michigan single business tax is. It is not trying to identify it as one kind of tax or another. The Michigan single business tax replaced a number of taxes in the state of Michigan, which were repealed. The corporate income tax, the franchise tax, intangible personal property tax, and tangible personal property tax, as a number of those other ones. The issue in this case is really based on the statute in the state of Ohio. And that statute is 5747.05b1, which provides the resident income tax credit to the resident for any income of that taxpayer, which is included in their adjusted gross income, that is subject to taxation in another state. And that statute provides that such credit is permissible when that taxpayer is subject to a tax measured by income. So the issue is a Michigan single business tax a tax which is measured by income? You have to look at what is the common ordinary definition of measurement. Definition of measure is to compute or calculate or estimate an amount by a standard. The Michigan single business tax base starts with business income.
Wouldn't it be appropriate for us to look at what the Michigan law is on the subject? And doesn't Michigan law in the Gillette case specifically provide that there's not a tax on income?
Well, they were trying to determine whether it was an income tax or not, okay? Not whether it was a tax measured by income.
Well, but doesn't our statute say that to qualify the credit, you have to be subjected to a tax on income
or
measured by income?
Or a tax measured by income.
Okay.
So it's a conjunctive, and it's two conditions in which the credit will be permissible. Other state statutes provide only if it's a tax on income. And that's a difference based on the statutory.
Doesn't that Gillette case specifically say that it's a consumption type value added tax and specifically not tax measured by income?
No, it doesn't really say that it's not measured by income. They label it as a value added tax, which is the problem with attaching a label to it. Okay? Labels are meaningless in this case. You gotta look at whether it's measured, you gotta look at the effect, okay, of whether or not that income is subject under the Michigan Single Business Tax.
Well, did they say it was measured by income?
They didn't.
Well, you emphatically stated that they did not say it was not measured by income.
They indicated that it was a value-added tax. Okay.
Period.
Right.
It didn't go into whether it was measured by income or not.
No.
Okay.
And to look at the statute, you got to look at the situation of whether or not what items, okay, are make up the tax base in the state of Michigan. They start with federal taxable income. And the easiest way to look at it is if you look at an individual. Appendix of the brief 17 and 22, you see three individuals who one who has no net income, one who has net income, and one who has a net loss. And you see the effect that those three situations have on the calculation of the Michigan single business tax. And that effect relates to whether or not that tax is measured by income. If you have an individual with no net income, his taxes went up a certain amount. When there's a loss, it reduces that tax liability. So there is a direct effect by the presence of income, positive or negative, whether it is a loss or it is a net income.
You indicated there are no Michigan cases that answer the question whether or not that tax is measured by income.
That's correct.
There's nothing you can point to.
And the cases talk about trying to label the tax as gross receipts, value-added tax, the value-added tax is really identical and similar to an income tax.
Okay, could you just walk us, is there a simple explanation for how Michigan tax is measured? Can you describe that?
Yes. The statute starts with what the initial tax base is, which is business income and federal taxable income. And that's under the Michigan law, section 208.33. So it starts with federal taxable income.
All right.
Okay?
I think I can understand that.
Right, and that's included in the tax base specifically.
All right, that's the starting point.
Right.
Get us to the end point.
Well, Michigan provides some adjustments and to that tax base. And the adjustments they provide is so that they can come up to what they want to the total tax base, which is the total generation of income in the state of Michigan, which includes the net income, includes other items of income that's generated. The Michigan single business tax tries to tax the income being generated at the source. Rather than an income tax, it taxes the recipient. The employer who pays the wages, is taxed, and the compensation is added back into the tax base, so they tax that compensation at the source rather than taxing the employee who's the recipient. The same thing with the income. The income is generated at the source, so they tax the business entity rather than the shareholder.
Okay. Between the start and the finish of the calculation of Michigan tax, are they measuring things other than income to arrive at the final conclusion as to the tax?
They're measuring income.
Just so.
Under the Michigan single business tax, they're measuring the generation of income by that business entity, including the net income.
But
whereas an income tax would measure that income when it's received rather than when it's generated.
So it's your contention that from start to finish, the entire calculation involves measurement of income only?
Yes.
They're not measuring anything else?
Includes the computation of total income generated from that business entity.
I thought they started with the income and then made adjustments such as additions for salary, depreciation, rent, interest, and other expenses that are deducted by the corporation. Is that wrong?
Only certain deductions which relate to the generation of income. Compensation, rent, which would be taxable to the landlord, the recipient, because they're taxing the generation of it. So certain deductions they're going to disallow because that's the generation of income. Other deductions they permit, like insurance, utilities, materials, cost of goods sold, advertising, those are all permissible. The only adjustments they make are for items that are the generation of income.
So your argument seems to be that if a tax is determined at all, if income is an element of a tax at all, no matter how it's used, that means it's an income tax, or it's a tax on income only, right? That's essentially your argument.
I'm not saying it's an income tax. I'm saying it's a tax measured by
income. Tax measured by income.
Okay? Because the income, the federal taxable income which is used, it is one of the items, which is the starting point, that's directly includable in the taxpayer's adjusted gross income. So it is subject to tax in the state of Michigan.
Okay, good. Let's see. see if I'm following you. You start with federal gross income or adjusted gross
income? No, federal taxable income.
Federal taxable income.
Right.
For the corporation.
Right.
But it's a subchapter S.
Correct.
So they don't have any taxable income.
In the state of Michigan, yes, they do.
For federal purposes?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Certain capital gains, or what is the whole?
It would include okay. Those assets.
Then the only calculations that are made, once you start with that income figure, are certain items of income are deducted off because they're going to show up, the Michigan tax is going to be levied at another point. You mentioned rents and other items that somebody else is going to pay that tax because of the point of determination of where the revenue stream is. Is that basically correct?
Yes. Michigan single business tax is at the source of the generator of the income versus the recipient.
So if the corporation were paying rent to another corporation or to a private individual, that would still be deducted, wouldn't it, for tax purposes?
For federal tax?
Yeah.
Yes, it would be, but in Michigan they add it back. Because it's a generation of income. That deduction is a generation of income.
So would it be added into the corporation?
Doesn't all the adjustments that are required under the Michigan statute make it at least more in the nature of a value-added tax as opposed to, you cite the Trinova case from California. But the fact is the California court has held that tax is specific, that is a tax on income. The adjustments aren't made in the California law like they are in the Michigan law. Doesn't the adjusting system make it not an income tax, tax on income?
The one element of that, okay, which no adjustments exist, is the federal taxable income stays in that computation, okay? And that there is, and that income is going to be taxed regardless, okay, of the existence of any of the other deductions. So that income will be taxed and subject to tax. Now, whether there's more income subject to tax beyond that, that depends upon the adjustments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Mr. Meyer.
Hi, Mr. Chief Justice. May I please the court? I'd like to address two matters that arose on the presentation by counsel. One is the issue of whether or not it has been held that the single business tax is a tax, is not a tax, either an income tax or a tax measured by income. I think the two most important cases to review in that regard are the Gillette case, which was mentioned. And in that case, the central issue was whether or not the federal public law 86272 a particular tax at issue. Federal law provision 86272, I believe that's a 15 U.S.C. section 381, speaks of, and basically what it does is it prevents states from imposing income taxes or taxes measured by income in particular situations. And the situation would be a situation where a company in one state merely sends a solicitor in and arranges a sale in another state. Well, the state where the sale is arranged can impose an income tax or a tax measured by income on the company in the other state. So the Gillette case really does address the question both whether it's an income tax or a tax measured by income. The other important case to look at is the United States Supreme Court decision in the Trinova case, which echoed what the Michigan Supreme Court had said, that the value, that the Michigan single business tax is a value-added tax, that it is therefore different from tax income. Now that case didn't directly present this issue, but the United States Supreme Court, it's important to note, for purposes of dormant commerce clause analysis, substantively different from other kinds of taxes.
But interestingly enough, the tax we're dealing with in this case is called the Michigan Single Business Tax.
That is correct.
Would you go so far as to assert that income is not a component of the single business tax?
No, that brings me to the second, right to the second point I want to address, Justice Douglas, and that is how the tax is actually measured in the single business tax setting. The U.S. Supreme Court, in a trial decision, put forth an analysis of this, and basically what happens is a value-added tax, what is taxed, are all the increments that go into a company's adding value by manufacturing. That includes profit, and profit is the income factor. Federal taxable income is a proxy or representative of the profit aspect of the business. But in addition to that, the value-added tax, the Michigan Single Business Tax, adds in the cost of labor, okay? And that's an extremely important point because income is the term that we're dealing with here. Income is the term in the Ohio statute that you have to construe and apply in this case. And income needs to be understood in terms of the federal definition of income. And if we look at the Treasury regulations, we see that gross income in federal law excludes cost of goods sold. Under ordinary accounting procedures, that would include the labor cost of goods sold. So the very definition of income would exclude this labor cost that is explicitly included in the single business tax calculation. In addition, the single business taxpayer must add back in depreciation on capital equipment. Again, the theory of the tax is that this equipment was used to produce value, and therefore the depreciation is added back into the tax base. So the tax is fundamentally different. Its tax base is different.
See if I'm misunderstanding something here. I think what you've just described is a tax in which you start with what would traditionally be an income measure, and then you get a higher revenue yield for Michigan by adding back in labor and depreciation and some other items.
That's correct.
So the hit to the taxpayer is actually larger than an income tax would be in Michigan.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, if it were a straight income tax, this taxpayer would be entitled to the credit, you know, on the Ohio tax.
If it were a tax on income, we're measured by income. That's right.
Okay. But because Michigan takes an income measure and then adds certain items to it to make the tax base larger in Michigan, you get no credit in Ohio. Is that basically where we are?
Well, I think the important thing is to note the substance is that the tax base is different. Whatever the income amount is, whatever the labor cost is, the tax base is substantively different.
I want to just take you one step further. What's the public policy or the good tax policy behind what you just acknowledged to me is the case, that if Michigan just levied a straight income tax on his corporation, the taxpayer, the Ohio taxpayer, would get a credit?
That's right.
Because Michigan has figured out a way to get a bigger bite out of this Ohio taxpayer, the end result is no credit.
Well,
just
by
the way, how does that make
it may or may not be a big bite depending on the circumstances of the particular case. There may be a higher amount of income in one case, a lower amount of income in another case. I think one of the important things to keep in mind here is...
Well, how would you get a lower amount of income by adding labor and depreciation taken?
I beg your pardon, Mr. Sure. I'm asking the question.
Well, how would you get a lower amount of income by adding back labor and depreciation deductions?
If the income, let's say if it's a loss, that's going to reduce the tax base. So that, for example, in the Trinova case, there was like a $42 million loss, clearly no income. There was like $300, $400 million in such things as
raises it.
Well, it doesn't necessarily always raise it. It might lower it if the income is less than zero, as it was in the Triola case. So
well, I thought you just said that the income was a minus $40 million, and when you added labor and depreciation back in, it's a plus $20 million. Now, how is that lowering?
Well, the fact that there was a loss was calculated in and lowered the total amount of the tax base and therefore the total amount of the tax. But I want to get back to the important point that you're making, and what is the policy here. I think one of the important things that to point out is under the California decision, and we've cited about, I believe, three cases in other jurisdictions that have all analyzed this the same way. In each of those cases, what was involved was not this situation, the personal income tax, but a corporate income tax situation. And it happens that in most states with the corporate income tax, there's a deduction for taxes paid outside the state. But that deduction does not include a deduction for taxes on income or measured by income. It's sort of the opposite of the situation with the personal income tax. Okay? Now, in the California case, that court decided that the Michigan single business tax was not a tax on income or measured by income, and therefore there will be a deduction in California for the amount of Michigan single business tax which has been paid. Okay? These very taxpayers are involved in that because this corporation, this S corporation, did business in California. So they received the benefit of California's determination that, in fact, this S corporation gets to deduct the full amount of the Michigan single business tax liability. Now, in Ohio, however, the taxpayers want this court to say, we want an opposite ruling and get a benefit from that ruling. I think it's important that the jurisdictions, both because the analysis is correct, but also for purposes of comedy, and for the easier administration of taxes, and ultimately, because it will be easier for taxpayers to figure out what's going on in different jurisdictions, if the courts can agree on this analysis, that in fact, which has been blessed by the U.S. Supreme Court in Trinoma, that in fact, the single business tax is a value-added tax, and that this tax base may be something which is fundamentally different from income.
Isn't the problem really even deeper than that? If you have under the Michigan tax, as an example, no profit. Nevertheless, the corporation still, under value added, owes tax.
Exactly.
And so there were, I think I know exactly what the commissioner is concerned about here, and you all are, that you get to the point where if you show a loss under that situation, then they're going to come back and say it's not an income tax at all. We get a deduction in Ohio because of the overall loss.
Exactly.
Because it's a value-added tax, and they're still paying tax.
So whichever way it goes, the taxpayers will be arguing either side of the street. That's why it's important to have the analysis applied the same in all the jurisdictions. Really, what has happened here is the commissioner has applied the statute exactly as it is written. The adjusted gross income includes a certain amount which is subject to tax in another jurisdiction, where the tax in the other jurisdiction is the California franchise tax, which is an income tax, or rather measured by income. The commissioner did allow the credit, where the tax in the other jurisdiction, the single business tax, was not a tax on income or measured by income, that the credit was disallowed.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Mr. Phillips, you've saved a little over 2 minutes of your time.
You touched on the issue of the existence of deductions or adjustments. And I think the prior decision of the Supreme Court in the Brackman versus Lumbach case, which dealt with the policy considerations and the issues of the fact that in this other state there were other deductions and credits allowed that reduced the income, and that argument was, well, in that case, the credit should be allowed. The court, in its reasoning, addressed the fact that it is the amount of a taxpayer's adjusted gross income that is subject to taxation in another jurisdiction. underlying that rationale, okay, with the Bracken case, the appellant in this case, the Ardeers, had $300,000, okay, federal taxable income taxed under the single business tax, and increased their liability there and was included in their taxable income. And based on the statute, okay, if the person's taxable income is included in adjusted gross and is subject to taxation in another state, they're entitled to the credit.
Could you address the California issue? I'm not sure that I...
California issue was...
Follow that, but essentially he says you're trying to have it both ways.
They determined that that was a corporate income tax. It didn't deal with the individual income tax. And they addressed the issue that the that was a gross receipts tax, the Michigan single business tax. They did not determine, you know.
Well, is your taxpayer somehow getting a windfall if your position is adopted and you have the California result out there as well?
A windfall?
Yeah.
Well, the taxpayer will be receiving exactly what the statute provides in the sense that his income, which was subject to taxation and was included in his federal tax. Income, which was included as adjusted gross income, was subject to taxation in the state of California, and there was additional tax liability proportional to that amount of income, just like in Michigan. Okay? The presence of this $300,000 of adjusted gross income caused additional liability in the state of Michigan.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.